1 Corinthians chapter 12 is our text. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And we will begin with verse number 1. 1 Corinthians 12, beginning with verse 1. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, he says this, "Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant." You know, I saw a meme some time back that said, if the Apostle Paul were alive today, we'd all be getting letters. Concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. And yet, so much of the church is absolutely ignorant on this subject. Now, again, I'm not talking about stupid. Ignorant just means they don't have the knowledge. And that's what he says. I don't want you to be without knowledge concerning this subject. I want you to know it. I want you to understand it. But very few do. Very few do. Let me go on. Verse 2. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. And no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man. Do we believe that every word of God is divinely inspired? But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the self-same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. And so, the title of this series of lessons, well, it's not the series because we're still in an overall series of apostolic authority. But this particular part of this series, we are taking our title from verse 1, concerning spiritual gifts. Concerning spiritual gifts. Would you put your Bible down and would you ask God tonight to open your understanding? Now, Paul wrote under the inspiration of God that you should not be ignorant of this subject. And so you need God to open your understanding so that you are not ignorant of this subject. Let's pray together, everyone, right now. Lord Jesus, in your name. Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come on, let's praise Him one more time before you're seated tonight. Let's give God some more glory. Come on, let's lift Him up. Praise God. God bless you. You may be seated. I'm going to try to, again, abbreviate the review so we can get right into some new material. I do have, as I said, a point I'd like to reach tonight, Lord willing, but most of all, I want God to simply have His way, and I appreciate the way the Lord moved in last Tuesday night, and I appreciate your response to the Spirit of God. I commented to Brother Hilton after the service that I was so happy to see so many of you. Nobody asked you to come down around the front. Nobody asked you to make a move. But you were drawn by the power of the Spirit and you responded. And I deeply appreciate that. We've got to get to that place, church. God forbid that we have to be begged to come to the front to pray. Now I started out last week by making the statement. I've heard people say that what you don't know can't hurt you, but that's contrary to what the Scripture actually teaches. We pointed out that the book of Hosea 4 and 6, says that God's people are destroyed because of their lack of knowledge. Knowledge not only can hurt you, or a lack of knowledge not only can hurt you, it can destroy you. Amen. And then Paul tells us he does not want us to be ignorant about spiritual gifts. And as I made reference to a few moments ago, the word ignorant does not mean dumb. It doesn't mean stupid. It means simply not knowing because you don't have the information. And so that's why Paul writes chapters 12, 13, and 14 of 1 Corinthians, is so they would have the information. I'm telling you that what is implied by his statement is that the Corinthians, though the gifts of the Spirit were in operation in the church, they were ignorant about those gifts. Well, that didn't get much of a response, but just because you think you know, and even if God has used you, or you think maybe He's used you. I'm not convinced that everything I've ever heard. In fact, I am convinced. Let me rephrase that. I am convinced that a lot that I've heard that was supposed to be God speaking was not God speaking. That's just the truth of the matter. And so sometimes people think God's using them in the gifts, but I'm going to tell you, regardless, these people were evidently being used in the gifts, and yet Paul said, I got to fix a problem because you're ignorant about all this. Again, not an insult, it's just simply a statement of fact. So if there is any subject about which the church should not be ignorant, and yet such a huge majority, in my opinion, really is, it is spiritual gifts. So I, like the Apostle Paul, really want to try to rectify that problem, at least here locally. I want to make sure this church is not ignorant of this subject. I'm telling you, we're not seeing enough of the operation of the gifts of the Spirit, and we need to see it more. Listen to me, church. I'm not a prophet of doom, but I'm just telling you that for some time I have felt like there is a very dark cloud headed our way. At some point, America is not going to be the country that we know right now. It's already not the country it was when I was a boy. That's a fact. I never went to a Christian school. I went to a public school. And in public school, we memorized Scripture. In public school, we prayed before our lunch break. In public school! I know that's way back in the Stone Ages. but it was still American public school. And now teachers are fired for expressing a religious opinion. Unless it's a Muslim opinion. Or a Buddhist opinion. They just can't express a Christian opinion. That's a fact. We're already losing ground. But I'm just telling you, church, again, I'm not a prophet of doom, but I'm just telling you, I have felt this for some time. Something's going to change. And I'm fully expecting it to change during my lifetime. And I'm going to tell you, the only way we're going to be prepared for that dark time that's coming is if we learn how to plug into the power of the Spirit. We're not going to be able to do it just getting by. Living life on the edge spiritually, half in, half out. It's not going to work. Oh, help me, Jesus. I gotta get through this. So we talked about how important these gifts are. We pointed out to you 1 Corinthians 12 and 31. And you might just want to open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 12 because we're going to spend a lot of time there. We're going to use other scriptures, but we're going to spend a lot of time in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. But verse 31, the Apostle Paul makes the statement that we are to covet earnestly the best gifts. And as I pointed out to you last week, that phrase covet earnestly means pursue, strive for, zealously seek after. I want you just to ask yourself, I told you all of this last Tuesday night, but I want you to ask yourself, have you done anything about what I preached to you last Tuesday night? Has it affected your prayer life this week? Have you in the last 7 days started praying, God, I need the gifts of the Spirit. The church needs the gifts of the Spirit. Are you coveting earnestly? I am convinced we cannot hope to impact our world without a manifestation of the Spirit of God. A manifestation, making visible, making readily seeable to this world. We talked about the Apostle Paul raising up this church in Corinth and how wicked and perverse the city of Corinth was. And he stated very openly that when I came, I didn't come with the enticing words of man's wisdom. I didn't come to prove to you how smart I am. He said, I determined that while I was among you, I wasn't going to know anything except Jesus Christ and him crucified. So how then, Paul, did you raise up a church in a very vile city? He said, I'll tell you how I did it. I did it with a demonstration of the Spirit and power. That's how I did it. And church, we cannot hope to build a church in this city if we don't have a demonstration of the Holy Ghost. We can't compete with their choirs. We can't compete with their talent. We can't compete with all of the things that they've got. But I tell you what we need. We need a move of the Spirit of God. We need the Holy Ghost poured out in our midst. I think it was John Wesley. I don't have it in my notes. I think it was John Wesley who made the statement that if you'll set yourself on fire, the world will come to watch you burn. And I'm telling you, we need to be set ablaze by the fire of God. Oh, help me tonight, Jesus. If we're going to accomplish anything in this hour, it will only be by the supernatural work of the Spirit. And I think that that we got to the conclusion of last week's lesson. I think right there at the end is when we brought up Zechariah 4 and 6 that says it's not by might and it's not by power, but it's by my spirit, saith the Lord. And church, I'm telling you, that's what we've got to realize. Now I'm not saying we don't need visitor follow-up programs, and we don't need, I'm not saying any of that. Don't misread what I'm telling you. But I am telling you this, if we can really dig deep into the Spirit of God, God can draw more people than we can ever invite. If we'll do our part and we'll seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, if we'll apply ourselves, God, we've got to have more of your spirit. What we felt tonight was nice, but it wasn't good enough. We're not satisfied with where we are right now, Jesus. We need something deeper. We need something more powerful. We need something greater in this house. I thank God for the reports that I'm hearing constantly. When we have guests come through our doors, I'm constantly being told. They said this was the friendliest church they'd ever been to. I love hearing that. And that's the way it ought to be. But listen, there's got to be something more than just friendliness to keep them coming back. Now, without that, they're not coming back. But there's got to be more than that. They need to feel something different when they walk through the doors. Listen to me. I remember distinctly my Catholic mama going to church with me for the first time. And we just walked up onto the porch of the church and I looked up and tears were running down her face. I thought something was wrong. I said, "What's wrong, Mom?" She said, "I don't know. I just feel something." Church, that's the way it's got to be. Do you hear me? That's the way it's got to be. We need a move of God going on in this place. When the sinner gets out of their car and steps foot on the parking lot, they need to already be feeling something. We don't need to have to get in here and pray it down and plead with God. We need to have something already moving. Oh, Jesus, help us tonight. So, that's where we ended last week. Let's try to move on a little bit tonight and see how much ground we can cover with the Lord's help, because I do believe this is an essential topic for us at this moment in time. One of the other things that I covered at the conclusion of last week's lesson was the fact that God moves in seasons. That's been proven time and time again. And the fact of the matter is, we've got to move when God does, because we don't know when the next season is coming. God lets entire churches go through very dry seasons. And we don't know when the next dry season's going to get here. Brother Hilton, we got to get a hold of God right now. While we're feeling what we're feeling, while God is stirring, now is the time. We're going to have to seek him like we've never sought him. We cannot wait, church. Are you hearing me? We can't wait. We can't put this off for another month. We can't put it off for another week. We got to make up our minds right now. God, we're crossing over. God, we're going to possess everything you promised us. We're going after it, God. Whatever fasting I've got to do, whatever praying I've got to do, I'm going to seek your face until the glory comes. He said, "Seek the Lord while he may be while he is near. Not just whenever you decide you'd like to have him, but while he's near, while you're feeling a little bit of what we've felt here tonight. I'm telling you, now's the time. Now is the time. We don't know what tomorrow holds. We don't know what next month is going to bring us. But right now, we can feel him calling. Right now, we can feel him drawing. Right now, I know he's here. And he's saying, come on, Truth Church. Come on, Truth Church. I want to show you something you've never seen. I want to take you somewhere you've never been. I want to reveal my glory to you in a way you've never experienced before. Don't wait. Come on now. Now's the time. Woo. I'm trying. Hallelujah. So let's see what we can discover here from the pages of Scripture. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1. Read it again, Brother Hilton.
Now concerning spiritual
gifts.
Brethren, I would not have you ignorant.
Now please note again, words mean things. And I want you to notice that these are spiritual gifts. They're not physical. They're not natural. They can't be conjured up. They can't be, this is probably not a good way to say it, but I think you'll understand. They can't be educated in. I can't teach you enough about the gifts of the Spirit to let you operate. I can't do that. You can learn about the operation, but I can't teach you how. And I'm telling you, as I said a while ago, that a lot of what is passed off as spiritual gifts today is little more than showmanship by a bunch of charlatans. And that's an absolute fact. Most of what the world thinks about spiritual gifts is what a bunch of fakes have promoted. And unfortunately, I was telling Brother Hilton this, unfortunately, most, I actually said it last week, but most of what a lot of apostolics think they know about spiritual gifts, they've learned from charismatics. We'll say more about that in just a moment, but we can't learn from them about truly spiritual gifts. There's a lot of fake out there. This has been several years ago. There was a man I would hear once in a while on a radio station in Dallas when I was growing up. And he supposedly would get a word from God. And they talked about how people could go into his meetings and he could, without knowing them, he'd have thousands of people there. He could just walk off the platform and go out and find somebody in the crowd and give them their name and their address and their phone number and just call it off to them. And people are amazed, oh, what a man of God. Until some investigative reporter decided, I'm going to figure out what's going on here. And started going to the meetings with a radio receiver. And started dialing into different channels. And finally heard the voice of God that sounded a lot like the man's wife as she was directing him. Middle of the auditorium, brown suit, yellow tie. His name is, his address is, God was not in it at all. Some of these guys that are supposedly seeing people get up out of wheelchairs are paying people to sit in the wheelchair until they get on stage. Now listen, God doesn't need any of that. I'm telling you, the same God that worked through Peter and John with the lame man at the temple can do the same thing today. And he wants to do the same thing today. He doesn't need us faking it. He doesn't need us staging it. The power of God is real, and he can still perform miracles today. And we've seen him performing some miracles. Over the last several weeks, we've watched God heal a number of folks. Thank God. Thank God. It hadn't been drummed up. It hasn't been faked. But church, we haven't scratched the surface of what God wants to show us. Are you hearing me tonight? I'm telling you, we haven't seen a drop in the bucket compared to what God really wants to let us see and experience. I know what I'm feeling in my spirit. These are spiritual gifts. Everyone say spiritual. They're spiritual gifts. They come, they operate by the divine plan, purpose, and power of God. If they are real. If they're real. It's when God chooses to do it. And it's done by him and him alone. 1 Corinthians 12 verse 8 read.
For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. To another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit.
Now that just starts into the list, but here's what I want you to notice. Start reading the verse again.
For to one is given
how?
By the Spirit.
How?
By the Spirit.
How?
By the Spirit.
It's given by the Spirit. What does verse 11 say?
But all these worketh that one and self same Spirit.
All these worketh that one and self same Spirit.
To every man severally as you will.
Yes. Now, so notice those terms. By the Spirit and as he will. Yes. Not as we will. Right. It's not that we are able to determine what God's going to do. God does it as he wants to do it. Yes. They flow from the mind of God, and God alone knows the special needs of both individuals and congregations. Yes. These gifts come from God because we know that every good gift comes from God. James chapter 1 verse 17.
Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning.
Notice, it does not come from within. Did you hear me? It doesn't come from within. This is where so many people get this so wrong. It comes from above. It comes from God. We're not talking about talents or abilities or skills. I heard a man say one time, well, you know, you have the gift of tongues. I have the gift of writing. No, writing is not a spiritual gift. It's an ability. It is an acquired skill. It's not a spiritual gift. I had a pastor contact me just a few days ago. Said he had ordered, supposed to be apostolic literature for leadership training. And he said, in that, they recommended that he give his leaders spiritual gift tests. I said, boy, if you and I sat down and put our heads together, we could come up with one doozy of a spiritual gifts test, couldn't we? But here's this rod. Turn it into a snake, would you? Let's see if you got that gift. And then they go on to explain that maybe they have the gift of administration. And maybe they have the gift, you know, and they go through all these things. I'm saying, look, where are they getting this stuff from the scriptures? This is not biblical. The Bible specifies, Paul specified the spiritual gifts. And there's no way to give a test to determine what spiritual gift somebody has. I'm sorry, but I told that pastor, I said, that just shows you how spiritual the author was. That's what that shows you. That's if you think that there's a test you can give to determine someone's spiritual gifts, you're not very spiritual. You don't even understand what the spiritual gifts are. Now listen, human skills can be dedicated, they can be utilized in Christian service, but they will never, never equal the power that the Spirit of God can accomplish. Let God take your talents. Let God use your skills. That's what we're supposed to do. I believe everything that God gives us, He gives us for His pleasure and for His glory. Use your abilities for the kingdom of God. I want you to do that. God wants you to do that. But those are not spiritual gifts. I'm telling you, there's a time when human ability and skill and talent cannot accomplish some things. The only thing that's going to get it done is the power of the Spirit. Well, I'm telling you, as we go through the lesson, as we deal with these things, I want you to remember one thing especially. And that is, we are dealing with supernatural enablement. Supernatural. Not human. We are talking about things that only God can do through us. Hallelujah. You know, I saw a man give an illustration one time that I don't think this is what he was talking about, but it applies here. But he had on a very nice suit coat, and he walked over to the piano and he played a song on the piano, and he said, "Now, you know, if you enjoyed that," he said, I just want you to understand something." He said, "This jacket that I had on, you know, this assisted me as I played, but," he said, "I want to show you something." He took the jacket off and we draped the sleeves of the jacket on the keyboard and just put the jacket in the seat there. And so here's these empty sleeves. He said, "Okay, now play a song." The jacket can't do it without the man wearing that jacket. It was the one inside that jacket that was playing the notes. And that's what we've got to understand about spiritual gifts. If God does choose to use us, it's not you. You're nothing more than God's jacket at the moment. It's God that's doing it. That's right. And I'm telling you, singers, preachers, Sunday school teachers, anybody that does anything ought to get a revelation of this. If you accomplish anything for the kingdom of God, you're nothing more than an empty suit until God fills you up. Nobody knows how I agonize before I ever come to this pulpit. I plead with God, "God, if you don't use me tonight, this is going to be a wasted effort. If you don't use me tonight, then there's no reason for anybody to even show up. I can't do this. My human intellect, any vocal abilities I might have, whatever lessons I may have learned through several years of speech class in high school, further training in Bible college, none of that will affect eternity unless the Spirit fills it up. We've got to understand it is only by the power of God. And that's why I say to you, we can't learn about the gifts of the Spirit from a bunch of charismatics. Because I'm here to proclaim to you, you can't have a gift of the Spirit if you don't have the gift of the Spirit. Read Acts chapter 2, verse 38.
Then Peter said unto them,
repent
and be baptized
every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, hallelujah.
And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost.
Yes!